I have a message that I think has been inside of me for a long time. It's about the woman at the well. I really relate to the woman at the well because I look at my life and I look back at my past. And by the way, I don't want to make this about me, but the reason I relate to her is that after Christ came into my life, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go tell everybody about him because of the difference and the meaning and purpose and the change he made in my life. And so, you know what? I'm going to get rolling here, and I'm going to miss the announcements. I'm sorry. Come on up. I got a way of doing that sometimes. I just get flat out excited. Last night I was nervous before the service. Now I can't wait to get talking.
Now I can relate to not being able to sing. I couldn't carry a tune with both hands.
Do you sing in your car?
When nobody's looking, yeah.
Yeah, see, I told you.
I want to thank everybody last week who was here who signed the petition, most everybody did, for the personhood amendment. But if you were not here last weekend, I'm going to have a table set up on the right side on the way out. If you're a registered voter for Colorado, we'd appreciate the signature. This is to establish personhood for the unborn. And this is the last weekend to get sign for it, and we're really close. We're right about on the line, and today's the day we're going to make or break the effort to get this on the ballot. And again, it's to establish personhood for the unborn. So thank you. And if you can, I mean, don't be shy. It's only me this week. Last week, I had four or five other people helping, and they're spread out at other churches today. But if you would, don't be shy. Come up and do sign it. Thank you.
Thank you, James. You know, last night when I came to the service, that's even a more laid-back service than this service, and I was wearing a tie, and Marcy said, you got to have to take that off, so I took it off, but I'm not going to take it off this morning, because Saturday nights I usually take a bath, I shave and get cleaned up, and so this is the results of it. I remember Joel years ago, I wore slacks to church for two or three times, he goes, you're leaving us, and I said, what do you mean leaving us? You're not wearing your Wranglers no more, you're not wearing your cowboy boots. And so I'm not leaving anybody. I love everybody. Let's pray. Father, we come before this morning and we, of course, thank you for Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray this morning that your son, Jesus Christ, would be lifted up in him alone in this place, Lord. That Jesus would be glorified. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to speak for you and to... It's your word, Lord, and it's your message, and it's your Holy Spirit if anything ever really, truly gets done. So, Lord, this morning, I pray that in this service, Lord, that your Spirit would fall mightily and that you would begin to move and maybe even change things in our lives, and we'd be able to really see you clearly, even clearer than we do see you, Lord, from our heart. So I pray that our eyes of our heart would be able to be have great vision this morning and see that. See you maybe in a different way, maybe even in a new way, and maybe new hope, Lord, for us. In your name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to also show you a little video clip here about three quarters through this sermon. You know, the woman at the well, it's found in John 4, and it starts out as a story about a woman, a Samaritan woman. And I think the unique part that I really like about this is Jesus purposely goes to Samaria. And the reason he goes to Samaria, he wants to meet this woman. But isn't that just like our Lord? He wants to have a one-on-one with this woman. But he also wants to have a one-on-one with us. That's the way he works. A one-on-one with us. And this morning, I hope that this message gives you hope and maybe even a new beginning. I don't know where you're at. But anyway, the story starts out, and I'm going to start in verse 3. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to that. John 4. Starts out in 3. It says that he left Judea, departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. And the reason he needed to go, because there was this certain woman there, and he knew about her needs. He knew that her life was broken. And he needed to be there. So anyway, in verse 6, he says, now Jacob's well was there. And that's where Jesus ends up, at Jacob's well. Jesus, therefore, being weary from the journey, he's sitting at the well. He's weary. And it's about the sixth hour of the day, the Bible says, and a certain woman, a Samaritan woman, came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Now, there's a couple of things about this particular part about this is that in that culture, all the women would go in groups to the well. And they usually did it early in the morning or late in the evening. And the reason they went in groups was for protection. And so anyway, this woman is going at noon. And why is she going at noon? And why is she all by herself? Because this woman has been beaten down and she's been discouraged. And she probably doesn't really want to be with other women. She may have been considered in that time an outcast. Listen to the woman. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And the Jews, back in that particular time, the Samaritans were kind of half-breeds. They were kind of half Jew and half Gentile. There was a big... And the Jews didn't have anything to do with them, let alone a woman. See, back in that time, a woman was considered a second-class citizen. Men usually didn't talk to women. So she's asking him that question. "Why are you talking to me?" Jesus answers and says to her, "If you knew the gift of God..." All of a sudden, boom. "If you knew the gift of God..." Do you know the gift of God? "And who this is that it says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Now, all of a sudden, it's clear out of there. It's not really talking about the water at the well, but he's talking about something much deeper and much higher. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water?" See, she is not getting what he was just talking about. And then she almost, in a sense, kind of gets, to me when I read this, I thought, well, she's kind of getting a little smart with him here. Now, you've probably never met a woman like that, have you? I better watch it here. "Are you greater than our father, Jacob?" Wait a minute. "Are you greater than our father, Jacob? Who do you think you are? Who gave us this well and drank from it himself and well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answers and says to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again." This particular well that we're at, Jacob's well, you know, you may be thirsty, and if you drink from this well, you're only going to thirst again. You will be thirsty again, is what he tells her. "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman's response. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't have to get thirsty again." She says to him, "If you give me this water, I'm not going to have to come back to this well again. I won't have to face these other people. I won't have to face anybody. I can just stay home." And this is the whole reason that Jesus comes to the well. Listen to what he says to her in verse 16. All of a sudden, he's going to get off dead center. He's going to start talking to her about her life. And I think that's what God wants with all of us. I think this message, we're not told who this woman was. We don't know her name. It happened 2,000 years ago. But I think God, in this message, what he really wants to do is he wants to talk to us one-on-one. So listen to what he says to her. Jesus says, "Go and call your husband and come here." He starts to deal with her life. The woman answers and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband.' For you've had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." He digs way down deep. He begins to dig deep into her life. You know, this last week we did a funeral over in South Denver, And I had a gal walk up to me after the service, and she said, "You know, you were digging awful deep." And I said, "Oh, okay. I don't know if that's good or bad." She goes, "I'm just telling you were digging deep." And I thought, uh-oh, did I offend her? All I did was present the gospel. And then I had a Lutheran teacher come to me, and he goes, "Oh, that was the best presentation of the gospel I ever heard." And I thought, oh, I'm okay then. Jesus is digging deep into her life. And I think that's what God wants. He wants to dig down deep inside where we really live. He wants to dig down deep inside our life. You know, down in that inner place where you really live, that you think nobody else knows about. The problem with that, he knows all about that. So he really begins to deal with her life. But she tries to change the subject. And don't we do that? When the Lord really begins to press, or somebody begins to preach, or you begin to really feel like you begin under conviction and God's going to change something in your life, and you maybe be thinking, you know, he's digging too deep. So she tries to change the subject. Here's what she says to him. The woman said, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." "Wow. How would you know this stuff about my husband's? And how would you know about my relationship?" So then she tries to get off into a little bit of a theological discussion with him. She says, "Our fathers worship on the mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship." Then the woman said to him, and listen to the woman, what she says to him. She steps it way up. The woman said to him, "I know that when the Messiah comes, the one they're going to call the Christ, when he comes, he will tell us all things." Listen to what Jesus' response is. And this is unbelievable, because I think that is his response to each one of us. Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Wow. The woman realized at that point in time that the Messiah, the Son of God, is standing before me, and he is speaking to me. And what happens right after that is she runs back to town, and she goes back to her town. She tells the people in the village, "Come see this man that told me everything about my life." See, Jesus knew this woman's need. He knew she would be coming to the well. And he told her the truth. Do you want to hear the truth today? Do you want to hear the truth today? Will somebody give me some help in here? Yeah. All right. Amen. Are you ready to let God have your life? That's when it really gets quiet. Let's be honest about it. He knows where you are. He knows what you need. He knows the emptiness, the loneliness, the futility of life. He knows that you feel sometimes like there's got to be more to life than this. He knows that. He came to give you life, and to give you life more abundantly. He came to give you purpose and meaning to your life. He wants to walk with you and guide you through the times that try your very soul. That's who he is. He knows everything about you, and he still loves you and wants a relationship with you. And I'm not talking about here about church programs, and I'm not talking about joining different things or doing stuff like that. I'm talking about something that is probably way higher than that. And that's that intimate, true relationship with Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you something. You could be the person that does the most thing in all this church, be here for everything and do everything, and be the furthest away from God in this sanctuary right this morning. That's not what I'm talking about. Now, those good things, absolutely. Should we do them? Yes. And if you're doing it in the right spirit, it's absolutely great. I'm not knocking that. And maybe you don't think you're good enough to receive all that God desires to give you, but he thinks you are worth it. Or he wouldn't have went to the cross and died for you. He paid for everything you would ever do wrong on the cross. This year is a new year. I feel like this month is just the beginning of my new year. In January, I did some traveling and did some business, but we got back home, and now I feel like, okay, I'm going to start my year. So I want you to start your year with me too right now. Put that January in the past, so to speak. Have you experienced Jesus? I mean the real Jesus. You won't know what you are missing until you experience him. Look what happened to the woman at the well. She did not know who she was even speaking to at first. But then in a moment of time, she realized that I am talking to the Son of the living God. I am talking to the Messiah. She understood. You know, in the book of Hebrews, it says that when the Holy Spirit begins to deal with us, he says not to harden your heart. You know, and I probably could read it better because I'll probably paraphrase it too much. Let me just read it to you. Hebrews 3:7, he says,